Yordan Alvarez is the AL Rookie of the Year. Yeah. Won that unanimously. Everyone knew that was coming. Vladdy Guerrero Jr., 7th in Rookie of the Year voting. Who do you think came in 5th?
Bo Bichette.
Yeah, Bichette.
Kevin Biggio.
Really?
Bichette, I guess, I can understand because he didn't play enough games. And Biggio had a really hot start and a great September. There was a bit of a middling, you know, part of his season where he wasn't, you know, he hit a bit of a wall, which is right. going to happen as a rookie. But if I had have told you, if we play the old, hey, back in spring training game, Vladdy's going to play this many games and Kevin Biggio is going to play this many games,
right.
who do you think will finish higher in the Rookie of the Year vote? Nobody would say Kevin Biggio.
That's right, and we're just going on hype. I think he was nominated top 100 players in baseball, wasn't he?
Yeah, oh yeah, but, coming in like SI did there. I think they ranked him 100.
Right. And how many people safe. Have said this is the best hitting prospect I've seen since Manny Ramirez or
Yeah.
A lot of people were saying that.
Absolutely.
That's just what they were saying.
And Biggio was a guy that had to prove it.
Yeah.
You know, like he was on pace, but he was older than Vlad, he's older than Bo Bichette. He's got the pedigree. His dad's in the Hall of Fame. We know the name, but he had to prove himself at the major league level, and clearly he did that this year. I mean, that's a glass half full moment. The fact that he finished 5th, that's a good sign because Vladdy still has the talent.
Right.
I still think Vladdy's going to reach the potential that we all placed on him.
We'll ask Scott, but do you think Vladdy had a disappointing season based on
absolutely
his hype?
Oh, it's not even up for debate in my opinion. Here's Scott Mitchell, our Jays reporter. Would you debate that, Scotty?
No, I think that's bang on. I mean, you have to just look at, you know, with context, just how crazy high the expectations were. But kind of Ross Atkins even touched on that yesterday, that, you know, it was nice to have those guys in the Rookie of the Year conversation. And, you know, he even said that, you know, he doesn't think that Vladdy met his own expectations. And I think that's a fair statement. Vladdy touched on that in September, saying that, you know, he didn't really have the season he expected. He learned a lot about himself as a baseball player and what he needs to do to be successful at the major league level. And it all goes back to this is what the minor league pipeline is for. They want these kids to fail at some point so they know how to handle it better while they're not in the spotlight of the big leagues, you know, in front of the media every day. And Vladdy never had that chance to fail because he was so darn good coming up. And, you know, you look at his year, and when you look at some of the advanced numbers, you know, they just weren't what we expected them to be. He was pounding the ball into the ground. You know, the exit velocities weren't the same. And, you know, you have to wonder how healthy he was. And when he admitted that, you know, he was kind of tired and really his body was, you know, not doing what he expected at the end of the season, I think you have to really just go back again to the conditioning. And that's why we see why it was such a focus coming up and why it still continues to be such a storyline and focus at this point.
Scotty, how do you think Vladdy takes this? I mean, do you think he takes it personally and says, I'm going to show everyone and I'm going to show up at camp and this is going to be a motivating factor for me and I'm going to be, you know, all these players have this thing when all of us played, I'm going to show up and I'm going to be the best conditioned guy in training camp. And when that's announced, everyone's like, oh, they're for real. How do you think this motivates Vladdy and how does it affect him going into spring training?
Athletes using adversity and criticism from the media and outside places is the oldest trick in the book, and I would expect that to happen. I think, you know, he stood in front of the media in February and March, you know, when he first came up, and he was smiling, and that's what we saw. And one of the things I remarked about him when I saw him in the minor leagues, when I saw him in the Arizona Fall League, was this kid was always having fun and smiling. And when you're hitting 400 and crushing baseballs, I mean, that's fun. And that went away in the second half of the season, and he was clearly frustrated. And just having some conversations with him, and he told me he wants to lose 15 to 20 pounds and come back. And you know, I think he learned a lot about himself and baseball this year. And you know, I would totally expect, you know, I'm with Hayes there. If your expectations are going to change for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. off of 5 months of baseball, you know, stuff that came with as a 20-year-old in, you know, the highest level of the game, I think you're crazy. I think, you know, this kid's going to be just fine. He just didn't meet the expectations, and they were just so crazy high, even some of the projections. Zips, which does a model that's fairly reliable. They had him as one of the best 10 hitters in the game as a 20-year-old last year coming into this season. So, you know, he just didn't meet the expectations, and you have to have the context of how high they are. But, you know, I think he's going to be fine. And Kevin Biggio, having the type of year that he did, advanced analytics, really love this guy, his ability to get on base, a little bit of pop in his bat. He has a whole lot of fly balls, and he had a couple of those signature moments too. I think when you look at why he finished where he did in the Rookie of the Year race, I mean, I think you have to have that late season cycle on your mind because, you know, people remember that stuff.
With Scott Mitchell, our Jays reporter, who's at the GM meetings down in Arizona, you wrote something up on TSN.ca, and basically the precursor to the whole piece is they're not going to get Cole. They're not going to get Strasburg. They're not going to overpay them by $100 million just to secure their services. And if all things are equal, they're not picking Toronto over New York or Houston or L.A. or whatever. But that second tier of starting pitchers is a market that the Blue Jays should be active in. What are you hearing and what is likely?
Well, I'm hearing they're very aggressive this year. When you talk to people last year, there wasn't a lot of Blue Jays buzz. You talk to a couple agents and, we haven't really heard from them. And that was kind of the plan, and it wasn't so much of a secret. And this year, it's apparently been totally different. They've been making calls since day one of free agency. They've been talking to teams. They've been a little bit more aggressive in terms of, guys that matter. I mean, you're always going to have to work fringes in baseball. You're going to have to find diamonds in the rough, things like that. But, the Blue Jays are serious about pushing this forward, and the resources are there. They have been pretty much nothing committed to the payroll in 2020, and even less going forward. And what you kind of got to look at right now is Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Bo Bichette, and Kevin Biggio are as cheap as they're ever going to be right now, and that gives you the ability to do some different things and go out and spend money in different ways before these guys do get expensive and become your $20, $25, $30 million players, whatever it is. So, Zach Wheeler is the guy that's going to be really interesting. That market is going to take a while to develop because it may depend on Cole and Strasburg and how long that takes and what they do. And, the news coming out today that Cole may wait till January is just, frustrating for everybody in baseball. But Zach Wheeler is the type of guy that, could pitch immediately at the front of your rotation. And not just the front of the Blue Jays rotation, but the front of any contender's rotation. And he also has a little bit of upside. He's 29 years old. He's a guy who had some injury issues, seems to be over those the last couple of years. But, do you want to commit 4 or 5 years and $80 to $100 million? That right there is going to be, the proof of where the Blue Jays sit. And once you get past that, Michael Pineda, Julio Teheran, these are guys that are excellent major league pitchers, probably more number threes, kind of Marcus Stroman types that give you that 3.5, that 4 ERA. I expect them to be fully in on that market, especially if they're out on Wheeler. So, there's some intriguing names where they can definitely make some rotation improvements, but, the real improvements are going to come. You have to look at the Houston Astros, what they did. Garrett Cole, Justin Verlander, they traded for those guys when they became, real contenders, and the position player group kind of grew together. So, there's a whole lot of things to roster building, but, the Blue Jays are kind of in the mix a whole lot more than they have been the last couple of years at this point.
Enjoy it down there, Scotty. We'll do it again soon. Thank you, buddy.
All right, fellas. Take care.
Scott Mitchell, our TSN 1050 Blue Jay reporter, live from the GM meetings. Always in Arizona. It's like Arizona, maybe in Florida somewhere.
They're not having it in Omaha.
Yeah, you couldn't mix in like a Flin Flon or something like that.